The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, folks, just recorded a really, really good episode. We've been doing it week after week. It's working, and that's because of you guys. If you can, again, we're going to give 5 seconds to smash the living hell out of that subscribe button. I think we're almost at 100,000 subscribers, even on Instagram. If you want to follow on Instagram, whatever you guys are doing, thank you. It's working. 5 seconds to hit that like, comment, subscribe, the whole nine yards. Thank you, as always. Let's get into the Brownlee Dump Show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to what is
another edition. I can't hear Bob. Can you guys hear him?
Yeah.
I can't hear him.
Not the start we were looking for here on the Brownlee Dump Show, but this is the Brownlee Dump Show to be expected. I mean, Mikey.
That's that Vermont Wi-Fi, dog.
What is this guy doing in a cabin in Vermont?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, dude. This guy, if there's a long weekend, you can count on Mikey being somewhere. It's just never like, oh, let's stay home. Let's take the kids for a bowling or something, you know? Can you hear him now, Mikey?
Yeah, I could hear him, and I could hear you insulting me and my family, Joe. So, yeah.
I wasn't insulting your family. It's just such a random thing to be in Vermont for six days.
My in-laws happen to be big skiers. They're ski people. They're mountain people. They love the skiing. They're skiing people. So we've been to Colorado. This is my first time ever being in Vermont. I'm not a skier. Obviously, I don't
partake. Will you try to hit the slopes, Mikey?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's too big of a risk factor, Joe. You know, I go down, Volani Enterprises goes down.
If you go down, there's an avalanche coming down with you.
Yeah, that's correct. What's gonna happen. That's also like Andre the Giant in the French Alps.
You're gonna watch the Bears game in the cabin with them.
Oh no!
So the Bears game, the venue has not been determined yet, but we will be. I'll be locked in wherever it is. Listen, I'm gonna be so like ignorant to whatever's going around me, but I gotta be honest, Bob. We're recording. This is Sunday morning. We're recording. After what I saw in Seattle last night, it may not even matter. Seattle looks like one of the best teams. They look incredible. Incredible.
That's that Sammy boy, Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing was, he didn't even have to do much. Like, his stat line wasn't crazy. The team just destroyed them.
When they're playing at home, I've been in that stadium because it's close to Vancouver. It's 3 hours away. And I used to go watch them play the Packers. When Seattle is winning and things go right, that stadium is a problem, man. They call them the 12th man. It is insanely loud. They go fucking crazy. No joke. Like, it's a problem. And if you get off to a start like they did, like the Niners did yesterday, the first play of the game, kick return for a touchdown, like, that's it. I mean, you're in for a long haul. Like, it's tough.
I am dude, I don't know. I mean, you know how big of a Yankee fan I am. Like, seeing Aaron Judge not win a World Series, I thought is the worst thing in the world. I honestly think seeing Josh not win Super Bowl yet is the most crushing, or even have the chance of of going, like seeing him in the press conference, it just breaks my heart. I don't think there's a more likable guy. I don't think there's a more likable fan base. Like, I don't think there's anybody out there. You're going to have Dolphins, Jets fans, like AFC East that like hate the Bills. Like, how could you hate the Bills? It's like hating the Lions. I just am so crushed for him. I really am. It just really, really sucks. It really, really sucks.
Well, the thing was this year, too, was like it wasn't your typical AFC playoffs. You got rid of Mahomes. You got rid of the boogeyman was gone. You weren't going to get Mahomes in there. You weren't going to get Joe Burrow in there. You weren't going to get Lamar Jackson in there. So it felt like the best quarterback left in the AFC was there. Like he was there, and it was this was going to be their time. But I think you guys would agree with me. Like, of all the Bills teams we've seen in recent years, this was the least strong Bills team, I would say, on the defensive side. And again, they got to get this guy a real alpha one wideout, man.
Look what he did with Brandon Cooks.
That's what you got to get this guy. Like, remember when Steph Diggs first got there? Yeah. How incredible it was, like, for the first couple years when Diggs was there. Like, he needs another alpha one like that there. Like, he just needs, like, more guys because he's trying to do everything, and he's a magician. I mean, he makes – without him, they don't even get to where they're at. But he's got – I feel like he feels like he's got to do everything for them at some point.
It reminds me a lot of Aaron Rodgers with the Packers when they, like, had that – it seemed like a 5 to 7 year window where they were contenders every year, and they needed like one more piece just to win. And they just did not give it to them. Obviously they won in 2010, 2011, but like there was years where 2014 through 2018, like they were NFC champion or championship games, divisional games. And they just needed like that one extra piece, and they didn't do it. So it feels like the Bills fans, like Barzal's a big Bills fan. I talked to him last day. He was crushed. It's got to be devastating because you know you don't get a window to win like that very often in the NFL. And when you get a guy who's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback like that who can bring your team to the next level and you don't give him the best possible chance, it feels like failure. It just does.
This one out of all the other ones, there's all the other ones where it's like, you know, there's not much more he could do. And he did. I mean, he did a lot of great things. But for this game in particular, with him fumbling, even the field goal at the end of the half really, really hurt him. So I feel like this game more than other ones, you know, he even put some of the blame on himself. Now, if there's any good side to this whole thing is we've seen it every single year. He'll go into hibernating and you won't see it. Like we heard from him the night before the AFC championship, almost every single day. He wants in on the Joe Hader series. But he's going to go into hibernating. You're not going to see him for like a week or two. And then he's going to come out and he's going to be at Oakmont. And then he's going to be at every golf course
known. Well, I mean, listen, I mean, at the end of the day, these guys are regular guys, man. Like like, what is he supposed to do? Just like
he deserves.
I'm not saying, but where I was going to say is that, and then it's going to lead to the Bob DeSports episode. Then he's going to play the Bob DeSports. It's a positive thing. Well,
it's going to be great.
It's going to be a rubber match, no?
Yes, that's exactly what it would be. We got our fucking teeth kicked in
last year, this time, we went through the worst stretch of losses between the Chicklets, the NFL quarterbacks. We were wearing L's like crazy, dude. Remember that, Bob? We couldn't buy a win.
Well, but Josh is a stick, no? Like, he's legit. He's
really Kyle good. Allen's yeah, gone really good, too, and Darnold's sneaky good, too. They're no joke.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, the rematch will be underway, but we're just going to give him time. But it just really stings. I don't think there's a more likable guy that's ever graced the NFL the way he has.
And again, the way it all played out with the officiating as well, bro. Like, look, dude, these guys have a legitimate beef with this officiating. I know every week it's something about the officials, but you can't ignore what happened in that game late and, like, with the interception. That play, like McDermott's got a legitimate beef. I think McDermott there, I think it's kind of run its course, but they have a legitimate beef with the officiating. And then on top of it, to throw salt in the wound, the fact that Bo Nix broke a bone in his ankle the second to last play before overtime, and now he's out the rest of the playoffs. Like, it's just like, man, oh man, now it's like whoever wins that Texans Patriots game today, it feels like has the automatic bid almost to the Super Bowl.
It feels like it's pay for the Patriots, man.
I know. And that, that man, it's just so tiring. It's just crazy the way these guys have just, you know, another fan base though, that never has to, granted, they have not had the success the Patriots have had. Seattle's GM, like they have no, you know how many times they were supposed to be in rebuild mode? And yeah, maybe they've had some tough years, but like overall, their fan base, they're always in it.
They've had it good. I mean, Baltimore usually has a good, Pittsburgh. I mean, you talk about teams, perennial playoff teams. I know Joe don't want to hear, but Green Bay every year. Green Bay's in the playoffs.
Yeah, we re-signed LaFleur. That's just wonderful.
I think it's the right move, Petey.
He is owned by Chicago, man. Now it's going to be hard. He's going to have to show some balls, and he's going to have to bounce back, man.
You know as well as I do. I think we said it last week, though. If LaFleur, like if they separated ways, Bob, LaFleur would be hired instantly.
It would be the Harbaugh situation instantly.
Yeah.
And also too, like McDermott. I don't necessarily disagree with you, Mikey, but at the same time, it's so late. Now it's like, who do you get? Who do you get now? Which is crazy because I don't disagree. Maybe you do have to move on from McDermott. If I was hiring a head coach, I just feel like it's so much more valuable to have an offensive-minded coach. And maybe I'm wrong there. You know what I mean? Just like a McVay. Obviously, he's one of the best. But like, it just seems like offensive-minded coaches are the new wave. Shanahan, like he did an amazing job. They just seem like they could have so much more of an effect than, you know, a Raheem Morris or like a defensive minded coach.
Yeah. I mean, look, the only two guys left in this playoffs that are like defense first is D'Amico Ryan. You'll see them play today. D'Amico Ryan's and Vrabel. That's the last two defensive guys. We'll see if one of them actually wins the whole thing. But yeah, I agree, Bob. They're all after these young offensive minds, I think. You know, Harbaugh, though, I did like the Giants hiring Harbaugh. The
Giants could be good next year.
I know.
Absolutely.
Like they have pieces everywhere, like on defense and on offense. Like they just got hurt really bad. They had a bad year, but like I think Jackson Dart's proved he could be like a great starting quarterback with Scadaboo coming back. Neighbors was out the entire year. Like they got
ten players.
You know who they remind me of, the Giants, a little bit this year? The Bears last year. They were in a lot of games and they lost a lot of brutal games last second. Like they just blew games. And now they got the young QB, like you said, Joe. They got wide receiver one, the running back, the defensive lineman. And now they got a coach who, I mean, that's the best hire of the cycle, I think. I mean, Harbaugh is another guy who I thought once Baltimore hired him, I was like, well, he'll get the first job. The biggest
job. Weird year, though, for the NFL. Like the playoffs, it feels kind of like in the past years, there's always like the big name dogs that are there. And this year, it's just kind of like it's anybody's game now. It really is.
I'll tell you what, there is not. We're recording Sunday morning. You're not going to find a bigger Rams fan than Peter the D. This could
be expected. It's to be expected.
I will say this. I'm actually going to bet on the Bears because I'm telling you for two reasons.
But Bob, I'm going to slam the Rams. So it's totally fine.
Yeah. I don't like that.
I think the Rams are significantly a better team, but this weather situation that's going to be happening, it all feels like it's just going to be turning into Chicago's tide. And if Chicago wins again, I can't handle not – like if I bet on the Rams and Chicago wins, it's a double down loss.
Yeah, you're learning. The emotional hedge is a real play. It's a real
I do truly do. Think no oh, one is beating Seattle in the NFC.
I'm going to throw a whale on Indiana Monday night.
the only problem with that is, Bob, is like, are you going to do it with the points? Are you – like because the I know. The juice
yeah.
It's easier when your team's the favorite.
Oh, 100%.
Because then I could go, say Miami was 7.5.
Go money line,
Indiana money line.
Yeah.
That's like what Mikey did when Michigan beat Ohio State. He made a boatload.
Plus, paid for half my kitchen. Plus 1,100.
I thought the kitchen was the kitchen that DraftKings built.
That was the yard, Bob.
Oh, that was the yard. And the basement was built by Cofone.
Yeah.
it's like the Iraqi Navy, a couple leaks, you know what I mean?
Good old Cofone, dude.
All right, moving
shout out Paul. Good guy.
So Mikey, where are you staying? Is that like a cottage or a cabin or like
we're in Stowe, Vermont. I've never been here. It's the Trapp family lodge Like, it's like a lodging. It's like a huge, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Very, very
beautiful. It sounded like Mikey's at like camp. Like when he texted us, he's like, you know, we have breakfast at 9:30.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, 9:30, Bob.
It's every week he's on some sort of journey. Like the family's on. I mean, credit to them. They're staying busy, but it's crazy the amount of events this family.
That's got to be draining. That's a lot of work to take.
It
the
is,
family.
Michael. It is. Like, Holly does all the packing and stuff, so that's
but
the hard
you
part.
Can you be yourself for the game tonight, Mikey?
Yeah.
Bob.
Look at it now. Now, come on, Joe. Come on. But Joe, you're gonna see if you pop out another little one, and Bob, when you have kids, when they're little, like when I say little now, like you know, in grade school, first grade, kindergarten. If you don't keep them busy and you just let them like sit in the house, bro, they just destroy everything. Everything just gets destroyed. Like they start losing their minds. You have to do stuff with them. Otherwise,
it is a tall task to even like go like grocery shopping. Nicole now just orders Amazon groceries to the house. Cause like to get the baby in the car seat, to get him in the stroller, then to go through, and then you got to plan it. Like if he's not on his sleep schedule, it's a lot. It's like small errands now become big things.
Other one.
Do you disagree?
No, Mikey, I thought Bob had a point he was going to make.
No, I was saying father one.
Yeah, father one. I used to think this little guy behind me here, where is he? Where is he? Great. I thought that was a lot of work. That ain't nothing, dude. That's nothing. By the way, if you want to take care of your dog.
That dog's never been happier.
And you know why he's also happy, Mikey? Because the Brilliantly Dumb Show is brought to you by the Pets Table. We're making sure our pets are taken care of early and often. You know your dog deserves better than kibble, but with so many options, you don't know where to start. Let me help you out. The Pets Table is personalized dog food from the team behind HelloFresh, which has also sponsored the Brilliantly Dumb Show in the past. Wow. So they offer both human-grade fresh and gently air-dried options, or mix both to see what your pup prefers. 9 recipes, all formulated with a board. Certified vet nutritionalist. I switched to Pets Table and you should too. When you notice your dog first eating it, any health changes you've seen, shinier coat, more energy, better digestion, is all going to be as a result of changing your dog's diet. Help your dog live the best life with high quality food from Pets Table. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Get 55% off your first box plus 10% off your next two at thepetstable.com and use code DUMB55. That's thepetstable.com, code DUMB55.
Really nice, Pete. Really nice. Wanted to let viewers know we're going to drop, I think, I was telling you guys about it yesterday, the Elizabeth Smart interview Friday. I know it is completely, laughed with her about it. Mike, we were laughing like the, you know, do you want to come on the Brilliantly Dumb Show? Like to talk about your abduction is one of the craziest DMs I think I've ever fired.
Yeah, I'm sure you crushed the interview though.
That's up there with asking for anyone's opinion on the Los Angeles or the Beverly Hills cheese shop.
What sandwich should I get from the Beverly Hills cheese
on a Tuesday morning at like 11 in the morning?
That's a guy who's got a lot of time on his hands, man.
That guy's working in the steel mill, and Bob's looking for recommendations at the Beverly Hills cheese shop.
You got guys coal mining, and I'm walking the street drive going to the cheese.
Guys on a construction site putting their bodies on the line. This guy just wants a proper sandwich at the cheese shop.
Unbelievable.
The Beverly Hills part, really. He should have just said the cheese shop and just gave an address or something like that.
Yeah. Cheese shop sounds bad enough, but then you throw in Beverly Hills. High-priced Gouda on a Tuesday morning, man.
Saturday morning. It was a Tuesday morning.
That's why it was extra tough. That's
really bad. But we're going to release the Netflix documentary, comes out Wednesday. I can't wait for this because there's so many layers to it. I was crying during the interview.
Really?
Because you just can't believe that a human being at a girl at that age, yet alone any age, she was at the time 14. It happened in 2002. I mean, she's an open book about it too. She talks about the guy coming in, holding her at knife point. Just to give like a couple tidbits, when she's walking up the mountain with him, she says to him, you know, if you're going to rape and kill me, can you do it now just so that her family could find her body?
No.
And this girl is 14 at the time. And he turns to her. He goes, you know, I'm not going to rape and kill you yet. And like smiles like Jesus. Some of the most horrifying stuff you could possibly imagine. The one of the captors, the wife of this complete nut job, now walks the free world, only has 15 years. So I talked to her about that and how frustrating that was for her. You know, after the rape and torture, she talked about like being like seeing a defense attorney trying to like pin it like against her, trying to fight. And she was wondering, like, how could somebody be, you know, trying to protect them? But it is just it's gut-wrenching, and she goes through it all. It's unlike a, you know, it's not a normal, obviously, Brilliantly Dumb show, but this story is just, you know, and just to keep going into it, but there's other layers to it too. Like, she was almost caught by a detective who thought it was her, and the guy talked his way out of it. He would take her to parties when the whole world was searching for her. And then her sister was, you know, was held at, you know, was there in the room with her. They were sleeping in the same room together. 6-7 months after she was kidnapped, she put the pieces together of who this might be, who has her. The FBI didn't believe her because she was so young and they thought she was already dead. They accused somebody else, and nobody believed the girl who said, I think I know who it is. And it ended up being, I mean, the story is just crazy, but to hear her talk about it is, you can't believe somebody would go through that.
They're gonna make a documentary on Netflix. No, it's coming out soon.
Yeah, they're yeah.
This is true, Joe. This was how the whole conversation it started.
I was just saying that it's like it's gonna be cool if you get the interview out before the documentary comes, so people can look into it more.
Oh, that interview is gonna spike once the doc drops.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's dropping this week, Joseph.
Yeah,
Looked at like I was a crazy person.
It's the ficus. I was looking at the
ficus. Because I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people remember the name, but they don't realize how many layers there were to the story. This story I was obsessed with in the sense I couldn't get by it as a kid. So to be able to talk to her was, I mean, just absolutely insane. And then, you know, something we talked about too, you guys being parents, you can't fathom. I said to her, like, her parents sitting in that courtroom, having to hear that and look at this guy had to be unspeakable. What that is like as well.
Yeah, that's just awful, man.
Her dad. No,
the guy would be dead. I'd be in prison. But
I know. Well, that's that Cain Velasquez. You ever see that Cain Velasquez story, Mike, the UFC fighter?
He beat somebody up or something, or killed somebody, or aggravated assault, somebody who was convicted of doing something to you tell the story. I'm familiar somewhat.
Yeah, I might have the story a little bit off, but the teacher to his daughter was molesting his daughter. He found out, and this is a UFC fighter, and went to track this guy down and ended up like shooting at him or something. Ended up going to prison. He's in jail for like years. So all these UFC world's trying to get him out and whatnot. So that whole thing. But yeah, this Elizabeth Smart thing is absolutely insane.
I'm excited.
Again, like as a dad of a girl, I just don't know how I just don't even. It's like you don't even want to talk about it. It's just ultimate nightmare fuel.
I mean, just crazy. And then the way she thinks at that age, I mean, she's so young, but she kind of realized, like, I just kind of, if I'm going to stay alive, I have to obey to what this guy is going to do. And every day she faced, she was raped and tortured every single day. And the way she speaks about it is she's so like mature about it. Like it's she's able to separate what had happened and the reality. Like she's amazing.
Yeah, she's not letting it define and guide the rest of her life, which is hats off to her. I'm curious, the wife of the guy who did it, did she have intimate knowledge of what was going on, the wife? Like, was she involved in it?
Yeah, so
not in the actual raping and torturing, but she was there and aware of everything.
Yeah, it happened next to her every night too.
Yeah, like how do you not? How does she not go away for life? Like that just shows like how fucked up. Like what is going on that person doesn't get life in prison as well? Because you're just as guilty. You're just as guilty in my opinion.
It's crazy. It's like the fact that she's able to walk a free. I asked her too if you could sit down with her, like if she wanted to apologize to you and had time to think about it, would you?
It's a good question.
Yeah, it's deep, but it's you have to see it. And again, it's unlike anything that we've put out, but I do think it's worth it to put it out. So I think that's going to go Friday. The documentary releases Wednesday. That'll give us time Tuesday for the episode to this week's episode to sit, and then, you know, a change of pace, but something very interesting.
NFL playoffs, we're knee deep in them. NHL, NBA, NCAA men's basketball, World Cup coming to the United States this summer. That's why we have brought you our partnership and friendship with our friends over at the SeatGeek app. SeatGeek, the proud sponsor of today's Brilliantly Dumb Show. The best part is SeatGeek, if you live in a town, wherever it is, the geolocator will find stuff that's near you. It doesn't even have to be sports. It could be concerts, like I said, special events. That is why SeatGeek is the number one most trusted app to get your tickets with over 35 million downloads. SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. SeatGeek has your back. Each ticket's rated on a scale of 1 to 10. I always tell you what that means. That means you look for the green dot. Green means go, red means stop, just like a traffic light. That's what you got to look for. And every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. And of course, we have a code for you guys. You can use code DUMB10. That's DUMB10 for 10% off of your first set of tickets at SeatGeek. That's 10% off any tickets with promo code DUMB10. Thank you, SeatGeek.
You were always good at interviews, and then we just haven't done them in so long. But that's kind of how like the Brilliantly Dumb Show kind of started. Like you were doing your solo episodes, and then you went through a period there where you had like several interviews that you did. We started with Robert O'Neill, you did Wolf of Wall Street, you did Forrest Galante, you did a bunch. And then it just kind of changed course, you know, but I think it'll be a hit.
That was the one part I really enjoyed of the Real Interview was the interviews. You were
used to hate doing the solo episodes. I can remember that.
Yeah, it was tough.
Would come to me, Mikey. It was like Monday. I think it was Monday nights. He'd be like, oh fuck, I gotta record. So we would go out. This is when we were in LA and we'd go for dinner. He'd give me a gummy and then I would just start firing off different ideas and we'd start talking about stuff because he was essentially doing like a 45 minute bit every week, comedic show by himself.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it was just a long day. I know people are going to be like, oh, that's better than a real job, which it is, but it just coming up with the material was hard. Remember the disaster with Michael B. Jordan? I think I talked about that in that interview. That was brutal, you know.
It's come a long way. The Brilliantly Dumb Show's come a long way, man. Yeah,
thanks to you.
The guys. Evolution of Jerry, and then you lost Jerry, and then you brought Mikey on. And
yeah, dude, the Don used to be we've talked about it. He used to be one of the best handicappers I've ever seen. What happened? He stinks now. He's terrible.
He does those crazy like 10 game in-game parlays where it's like you hit once and a hit pays like 50 grand, but then he's probably losing 20 weeks in a row.
He needs
that
big rush. He needs the big rush, the big parlay rush. He used to be when he would just do straight games. I mean, he was tremendous.
Remember we'd watch the
brutal game.
We'd watch the game at my place, Bob, and we'd call him. I remember that one day he's like, I like the Lions. It was against the Vikings and they were like 10 point dogs. I'm like, Jerry, certainly not. Remember? And there was a video that came from it. It was like me, Showtime, Ticket, you, Yardley. We're like jumping up on the couch after because we all printed money that day. So
that's prime Don, man. That's prime.
It was, man.
All right, let's go into our buy or sell. What did you see that you liked? Well, go ahead, D.
Before we do, we got to address that tweet, Bob, that you sent me. I think we got to mention that because I found that to be hysterical. So Bob sends me a tweet yesterday. He sent me a thing from Mikey V, some guy said that he was going to the esteemed, it wasn't Tolercio's. What was the place called? Velardo's to try the esteemed Mikey V sandwich. And
it's not a Mikey V sandwich.
Before we even go into it, your response was correct. It's right. Like, what do you want me to do?
Right, right. Like, what the fuck?
Where's the tweet? I was dying. It was so good, man. Well, guy goes, oh, yeah. They're now cuz sent me. And they said that the server goes, oh, yeah.
He goes, bear down, cousin. Me goes, who? But Mikey,
he said, about to try out this Buffalo Chicken Caesar from Velardo's in Nutley. By the way, sandwich is unbelievable. Told them, bear down, cousin. They go, oh, yeah, okay. Now, perhaps my guy Jason wasn't working. Shout out Jason. Maybe he wasn't working. But my response was, yeah, man, I'm not a celebrity. It's a hometown sandwich shop. That was my response.
Aunt Bob sent me that last night. I was in tears. It's a great response to the tweet, but it was just like,
I don't understand what the guy
was looking
for.
Like Mick Jagger walked into the fucking restaurant and asked for a sandwich.
Right.
In fairness, the guy probably doesn't know you as Bear Down Cuts.
No. Yeah. He does. He knows. He like knows about our show, and he knows like about like generally what we do. But there's also 12 people working in there. So if you don't get that guy, no one's gonna know.
But is he the guy? Is it his shop, or is he just like a server in there?
That's the guy. So I don't know if he was working. You know, I don't even.
By the way, he's gotten
working.
A lot of free promo from this podcast. A lot of free promo.
Well, he doesn't know it.
Something to look into. I mean, he doesn't. He has no idea. He'll never know either, Bob.
I gotta tell you, I really would like to get this sandwich to Bob if possible. But like, there's no way it could happen unless he's in town. But I would put this sandwich up with any sandwich that I've had in recent history. Tolercio's
found a way.
Really mean that.
Huh? Tolercio's found a way.
Bread is gonna get compromised if it travels, Bob. You know that.
Yeah.
Like it never has that crunch like if you're getting it on site, on location.
Dude, the Tolercio's guy is funny. He'll just like name sandwiches after like an athlete as if they've come into the shop.
Yeah,
like, I've never been in there. Like, all right, we got the famous Robbie Burger. I'm like, yo, I've never been in there. But they're great. They're great. Good fried raviolis. We do love Tolercio's. Great sandwiches. Sure.
I do think, Bob, you like the idea of having sandwiches named after you. And
I loved it. But he's funny. He's like, he's got the Alex Earl and like the, you know, they got 1,000 sandwiches that he just names after people. And I respect that. I mean, it's smart.
Like that one episode, remember in Curb Your Enthusiasm when they give Larry David a sandwich, but it's not whitefish or something, white and he's not having
sable lox, cream cheese capers. Yeah,
he's just up in arms,
and he tries to barter with Ted Danson for the turkey club or whatever it is, and he's like trying to get the Ted Danson sandwich.
You know where you will have a sandwich named after you is at Bob Does Bagels. That's
right,
and that will be as legit as it gets.
Correct.
You can bet 100%. Now, Bob scared me a little bit the other day. He told me that all of like the Northeast is now trying to come into West Palm, Jupiter area and open up bagel shops. So we're going to have to pedal to the metal on that one so we get a head start there, Bob.
There was a article about it in the Daily News about how these shops are coming down. H&H Bagels coming down. All these places are coming down for bagels. So we got to get that shop up and running. We're trying to close the location. But yeah, we're ready. We're ready to go. But we will see.
Speaking of being ready to go, if you're a man who's in his late 30s, early 40s, let me tell you, you better be ready to go. I'm ready to go. And that's thanks to our friends over at Mars Men. Okay. One of the Brilliantly Dumb Show sponsors, Mars Men. Listen, when you turn 34, guys, okay, things start going downhill a little bit. You start getting a little tired, a little lackadaisical. The energy's just not there the way it used to. And I myself, you're looking for any and all solutions, especially if you're a person who likes to be active, likes to be in the gym every day. And that's where I found Mars Men. And going into the new year, I'm turning the clock back and making things easier on my body the natural way. I'm taking Mars Men, okay? A potent and natural testosterone stack that optimizes your body's ability to forge usable testosterone, which is better than having to force TRT, okay? You know what I mean? You want to do things the natural way instead of having to put foreign stuff into your body. This is the natural way to do it. Mars Men gives you the same benefits for optimized testosterone, energy, strength, focus, without shutting your body down. You don't want your body to stop producing what it produces naturally for the sake of getting more energy. No synthetics, no needles, no dependency. It's just like hitting the reset button on your hormone factory instead of shutting it down. Just real natural ingredients. And that's exactly why we're telling you to use Mars Men Like Us, because it's a tremendous product. Made in USA, third party tested, 90-day money back guarantee. So there's no risk. Worst case, you don't absolutely love it and you get your money back, but over 91% of users stick with it once they try it for a limited time. Our listeners will get 50% off for life, plus shipping and 3 free gifts, I might add, at mengotomars.com. What are those gifts? You pick them out. It's a perfect way to kick off the new year strong. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and 3 free gifts when you check out. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. That's Men to Mars.
Mikey, you're 40. It's coming up pretty quick.
Dude, it's here. It's around the corner, bro.
It's a month, you know, when away.
I really sat in my car the other day and thought about, like, half my life is over, and that's really, really, like, depressing.
No, like, it's really, oh, yeah.
It's half,
yeah,
Bob. Yeah.
It's about half.
It's half.
You know,
half,
the horrifying half. Thing is to think that, like, now, Mikey, in 10 years, we're going to be 50.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
one decade, we will be 50-year-old men.
Do you think
men,
you'll be dude. Doing, like, do you think you'll be doing hater episodes at 50?
I sure as fuck hope not, man.
I think so, Bob.
Imagine, like, Luca, like, kids in his class are like, Luca, when's your dad's hater episode?
Imagine Joe coming in for career day at school and having to explain to Luca's class, like, what he does for a living. That would be unbelievable, man.
Look, guys.
Bob would be in the corner of the classroom with the camera.
Look, guys, it might not seem like much, but it's very lucrative.
it's arduous, but it's very lucrative.
You see the tweet that came up with me with the fucking me on the Bangarang Enterprise and on that the yacht and
the trifecta with you and Scarface with the money stack phone was the greatest. Yeah. One of the greatest things.
Well,
I've
you know
seen.
What really it hurt me was when he did when the T-Man. Did that Sunday swagger shoot where they had him, they rented out like a mansion and they had him that those
with the cigar on. With the cigar and the dog in the backyard. He looked like Dr. Evil, only like a more sophisticated Bob? Doctor. He is like a James Bond villain. He really is like a James Bond villain.
Look at these photos, man. This one is the worst. Look at that. Mikey, look at
I know.
Oh my god, dude. This is the one
this is the best image of the year so far. That's the greatest image of the year so far.
Oh my god, man.
Push it to the limit.
Oh man, that's good.
Too good, bro.
All right, let's get into our buy or sell. I've been just jumping at the bit for this one, man. I got such a hard sell. And I know people might be upset with that. I don't get it. Went to go see Marty Supreme, Timothy Chalamet. He is phenomenal. So I want to make that clear. He is unbelievable. I am all in on Timothy Chalamet. If I could do a buy and a sell, I'm buying Timothy Chalamet. The movie stinks. The movie. People are talking about this movie like it is the great. First off, it's about ping pong. There's barely any ping pong in it. It is chaotic. There is no rhyme or reason to the movie at all. It's just pure chaos. Every scene, it makes no sense. There's really no plot to it. It is so unrealistic. It is. I don't get it, man. I know it's likely a me problem because a lot of people like it, but I'm curious for you guys to see it and let me know what you think. I hadn't heard about it.
Oh, I hadn't either until Bob brought it up. But then again, I'm not normally,
Mikey, are kind of ahead of the movie game than Bob.
Yeah, last movie I saw in theaters was Zootopia 2. Okay, so that's
that probably was pretty good.
It was very good.
The first one was awesome.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Flat out, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I would rather see. I mean, me and Howard wanted to go to the movie theaters. It had been a bit. Last one we went to was supposed to be the Bruce Springsteen biopic. We went in the long theater. wrong theater at the wrong time. They handed us 3D glasses. We sat down. We were in like a robot movie. I lasted 5 minutes and we walked out the doors.
I think the last movie I went to here, I don't even go to movies at all. I went to that Joker movie with Lady Gaga. It was awful. It was awful.
You talked me out of that, Pete.
Bob, I'm telling you.
Bob, you molested 3 seconds with that movie.
Bob, it was a musical, Bob. It was terrible. It was like, I thought that maybe, I was like, a lot of people are being hard on it. Maybe I'll give it a chance. I haven't been to a movie since then, you know?
Traumatized you.
Did you see Matt Damon and Ben Affleck on Joe Rogan at all? You see any of those clips?
No.
Really interesting. They work off really well against each other, but it's actually a really interesting conversation they had. Some Rogan episodes go a little too far down the road for me, but that was interesting.
What was the movie with those two? It was awesome.
Good Will Hunting.
That was one of the best.
That's movies my ever. Favorite of all time.
It's a great movie. It's
an awesome movie.
Yeah, it's a great I think movie. That's my number. But I'm telling you, man, this Marty Supreme stinks. Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank's in it.
Yeah, is that people. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah, I thought he was okay, actually. I thought he was fine. But just the plot is just brutal. Absolutely brutal. Chalamet's awesome all in, but people, you are going to see people talk so much shit on the comments about it because they people love it. People absolutely love it. I don't get it.
Bob thought he was going to see Balls of Fury.
he was there for the Christopher Walken experience. No, he hasn't.
If you're looking for like a ping pong movie.
Oh, yeah, Bob. It's like funny satire.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
That's up your alley. Balls of Fury.
Christopher Walken.
Yes. Put that on the list, Bob.
Okay. All right. Let's head over to the D-Man. Buy or sell.
I'm going to sell, and listen, it's people say it's a cop-out or whatever, but I think it needs to be. I don't even – we may have sold this before, but the pass interference calls in the NFL, we got to figure out now. It was really like watching that game last night was so enjoyable. It was such a back-and-forth, amazing game. It was so entertaining, and to watch it end like that, it was just such a dull – awful finish. And to me, especially in a game like that, in the playoffs, in overtime, I feel like it's got to be such an egregious penalty for them to call that, because it essentially gives the win to the other team. And it's just so bad. And I don't know if there's a way, like, I like the idea in college, a pass interference call is 15 yards. So it doesn't determine, like, you can't just chuck a ball up and hope that, you know, a guy gets held or whatnot, and you get the flag, and all of a sudden you're first in goal, right? I don't know. They got to figure something out, because you could have made the claim that towards the last drive of the game, when the Bills, Josh threw the ball to Cooks in the end zone, he was held. And whether or not you say that ball was catchable, I do think it was. They didn't call that. And then there's two back-to-back calls. It's just like, especially the last one, because that essentially iced the game. It's just such a bad way to finish a great football game. And I don't know. There's got to be a way to figure out. You can't have a penalty basically and end a football game. It's awful like that.
That's why I thought the refs in that Miami semifinal game against Ole Miss, I thought there were a couple times that they interjected, but I thought for the most part they did a good job, because it got very handsy and they were letting the guys play. And I thought they called it pretty good on both sides. Pretty much. But when it comes down to that, it's.
So I agree with that.
I think the guy down, but
both let them play. But at the same time, too, I don't know why the NFL – I would love to see them go to the college football rule where it's just 15 yards. Yeah, I think the spot foul is just – it changes the whole game.
It does.
You know?
But then I guess what their counter to that is like if an offense is – like defenders, if there's a bomb thrown and the only chance is you're down 4 points and they're throwing bombs down the field, defenders are just going to tackle you.
You're right, Mikey, but at the same time, when do you see that happen in college? Like, I haven't seen it.
True.
What I mean?
I will say they started calling more offensive pass interference calls this year, which is at least a good compromise, because it felt like for a while they'd never call offensive pass interference, and it felt like the defender was always at a disadvantage because you're always –
they
they love to call those OPIs now on those pick plays. That's like their favorite time when they run those like crossing routes and there's a pick set up that now they throw the flag for OPI on that all the time, which is,
but I'm talking about the bomb throws. So Mikey, like the 40 yard throws downfield, yep. Like it just changes the narrative of the game so much. And especially like in a game last night, like where it's basically eliminating a team. Like, I feel like you almost have to tackle the guy down for you to throw that flag. Like, otherwise, you just, like, got to let them play through it. But you see Josh, how upset he was at the end of the game. It's like he didn't have a chance to go back on the field because of that.
That was tough. Brutal. There was a pass before where it was close if they were going to call pass interference, and they made the right call by no calling it. I swear to God, when that ball was in the air then the second time, because I think it was the play after where they chucked it deep, in my head, I'm like, there's no way we can get through this play without a pass interference, especially in Denver. Like, you just know the flag is going to come, and it's so ticky-tack. And you're right, Joe. It changes the game. It's crazy.
And it was an awesome game. I mean, it was literally back and forth. It was so fun. You want to see a game like that finish with, like, a crazy touchdown or, you know, like a 55-yard field goal or, like, something big to, like, end it off in good fashion. And to, like, watch it was just kind of a lull. It just kind of was like, all right, there's the game.
NFL playoffs haven't missed besides, like, that Seattle game last night, the Pittsburgh Texans game. But other than that, I mean, the games have been amazing.
I agree. Yeah, it really has. I have no issue with that sell. Let's head on over to Mikey V. Mikey, what do you got?
I'm selling this week too, Bob, and I think you know exactly what I'm going to sell. Different sport, but I'm selling Hal Steinbrenner, bro. I'm sorry. I'm selling, and it's not – people want to give the Dodgers shit. The Dodgers are doing – they're playing within the rules. People don't like it, but they're playing within the rules. This used to be how the Yankees operated. Now people will argue, well, the Yankees, you know, they brought up all these guys through their farm system when they had, you know, Pettit and Mariano and Jeter and Bernie. Fine. But the Yankees would aggressively pursue any and all people under George to bring them on and pay them whatever. The Yankees – made $728 million in revenue in 2024. Their payroll, which was the third highest, the difference, they spent $362 million in 2024. It's almost a $400 million discrepancy in what they brought in. Now, people will talk about taxes, but I'm telling you this right now, and I put a quote on it, because after the Dodgers got Kyle Tucker, my friend chats, Yankee fans, we were just blown up all morning about how disgraceful, like, we're in a bidding war for Cody Bellinger. That's the best we're going to do, is maybe re-sign Cody Bellinger, and maybe not even him. Maybe if we lose him, what have we done? And I said a quote. I said, Bob cares more about Bob HQ than Hal Steinbrenner cares about the New York Yankees. And I genuinely, I swear to God, people who call me crazy, I genuinely mean it. I really... At the end of the day, this guy is not going to go out on a limb the way his father did. He's not going to take the risk. He's going to be content with what he's got. And next season, you're going to have to see fucking Brian Cashman in a sleeping bag in New York City at the end of the year again, doing the sleep out night in New York. Like that's supposed to make everybody feel better about you not doing anything in the offseason. They've done nothing, Bob. They've done nothing. They've lost half their bullpen. They haven't signed any hitters. They're back to square fucking one, and they're going to tell you when they re-sign Bellinger, we got our guy back, and that Garrett Cole's coming back, so you're getting a Cy Young pitcher. But you didn't actually do anything.
Guys, I have a shit coming out. I cannot hold it. I'm going to be 5 minutes. I cannot hold it. We can't cut that, though.
We got to keep that.
Dude, I cannot hold it.
Go ahead.
This guy's going to shit his pants.
To go, Bob.
Yeah, dude, to let it get that close is crazy.
Dude, there is nothing worse than when it comes to the point where you get the sharp pain in the stomach and you feel and your stomach starts sucking in and like you can't, like, you know, like it's either literally shit or get off the pot because you're done. Like that stomach sharp pain for when the poop attack
like a
happens.
Pancreatic shot from Mike Tyson.
You feel like it's never going to go away, too. You're like, oh, my God, this pain is never going to go away. Like, it's here forever.
when the cheeks hit seat and you let it rip, brothers. Oh. No, that's one of the best feelings on the planet. It has to be a top five. If we did top five feelings, that's in the top five.
Do you think that's better than when you have to take a piss and you get to a urinal and you let it fly?
Yes. Because when you gotta pee, like, it's uncomfortable. The bladder's uncomfortable. There's pressure. But when you have to shit, you literally feel like you can't even move. You feel like you make the wrong move.
Can't talk. Yeah.
I break out into a sweat. Like, sometimes I'll start sweating.
It happened to me the other day where I went to get a before we filmed, Joe, I went to get a haircut and I was like, all right, I should go to the bathroom before the haircut, like just drop it down before. And I didn't. I do the haircut and then I get into the car and I'm deciding while I'm in the car, I'm like, I should go back in there and use the bathroom there. Have you had it where you're like, oh my God, I'm going to shit. Like, I can't make it. Like, and then your body does miraculous things to fight it off.
you're like a divine intervention.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God, this is it. Like, I'm not going to make it. Like, I'm just not going to make it. I had that. And then coming down by our street, Joe, I mean, I'm not one to speed. I was probably going 60 and a 25, like to get back home. Yeah, like, it was crazy.
You run, and when you run, sometimes the scariest part is where you're running to the bathroom, and right before you get to the bathroom, you think you're going to shit, like, outside the bathroom door, and you're like, I made it this far.
I know.
Like, don't let it happen now.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
So, speaking of shit or get off the pot, that's the message on myself, Hal Steinbrenner. Shit or
get off
the pot,
I wanted to hear the rest of that.
Off the pot.
Yeah.
Get off the pot, Hal.
And the problem is, Mikey, and you know as well as I do, nobody feels bad for us at all. Whatsoever.
That's fine. Like, I get it. I'm going to catch all the heat. All the Yankees are crying me a river. I get it. But at the same time, like, we've lived it. We have a level of expectations. And I really genuinely think this guy just doesn't care. I agree. He doesn't care.
Well, that's going from, like, the cream of the crop and being spoiled and having it all your way to then not. It's like, it's pretty glaringly obvious that it's like, what the fuck's going on?
And the sick part is, Bob, I saw that they have the Dodgers farm system rated the number one farm system in MLB right now.
Are you serious?
So the scary part about that is that I saw a tweet. They're like, so you're going to see this. So just be prepared when they deal half these guys to get Tarik Skubal, you know, in a year or two. And then they bring him in. Like, that's what I saw. And I'm just like, bro, like, it's just...
They might win another four World Series.
They're built, man. They got closer. They got Diaz. They got Tucker. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I mean, now if you're a free agent too, you almost want to go there. It's almost like getting
a super team.
Chance to win a World Series.
You know what? I will say, at least, you know, if the Dodgers stay healthy, forget about it. It's over. But Cubs are really good now. Mets are really good, to where you let everybody battle it out in the NL. The NL is just, oh man, are they tough. And then I was hard on the Red Sox last week, which I knew a lot of people were upset about Bregman. They go out and get Ranger Suarez, to where now I think the Red Sox are the second best team in the AL East. I think they're better
behind the Jays.
Do you think the Yankees are the third best team in the AL East
right now? I honestly do, if Garrett
Cole comes back, Mikey?
Well, their pitching staff, I think, is the best pitching staff in baseball when Cole's back. The problem is what have they done for the lineup? Nothing. Who in that lineup scares you, especially if they don't
get Judge.
I was going to say, though, that's the caveat. Besides Aaron Judge, who in that lineup scares you? Genuinely, who scares you in that lineup?
That's why if they would have kept Soto, that would have been...
Maybe Stanton in the playoffs. Maybe. When he gets hot. Stanton, when he gets hot... He's a scary guy to face, Stanton.
They kept Soto, man. That 1-2 punch with them was a real...
Over a luxury box. They didn't want to give him the luxury box.
That's crazy.
It's just fucking ridiculous, bro.
You know
what's a peak
in my life was when we were at the Golden Steer when the Yankees were going to the World Series.
What a dinner, man.
What a spot. What a spot.
Yeah. Soto hit that home run, and then Weaver closed it down, and then the steaks hit the table, maybe.
The lobster table. After.
Oh, was that a miraculous dinner for me, man, for all of us.
Nice. That was nice. Stoner gave us a bottle of Silver Oak Cabman. We had that back end, that beautiful booth. I don't even know what the booth was called.
Great booth.
I sat in the Muhammad Ali booth last time I was there. I forget whose booth that was. They have a booth for everybody. And truth be told, you don't know if that's really the booth. They have every booth.
It could be, though. The place is old.
Could be.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know that the Brittle and the Dumb Show is brought to you by the fine folks over at Rag and Bone. Rag and Bone Infuse offers a range of fits tailored for any style and occasion. For slim and straight to athletic and relaxed, Infuse denim is a wardrobe staple that pairs perfectly with any outfit and whatever fit you prefer. Now, did you feel they broken right away? Stretch where it counts, structure where it matters. Rag and Bone has got you covered. I actually wore the shirt to the movies, and I might not have liked the movie. My stand just came off. Hold on here.
This guy's in shambles, bro.
Yeah, I really am, man. Good God.
The mic's got to take a shit.
I do love the arm boom, though, for the mic. I do love
it. I do. Yeah, it's great. But also Rag and Bone. Rag and Bone is absolutely spectacular. I wore the shirt the other day. They are the real deal. I know Ticket wears them a lot, too.
The jeans are supposedly really good.
Jeans are amazing, Pete. Rag & Bone makes jeans that are built to last. They've spent 20 years obsessed with making jeans that get better over time. You can throw them in the wash, not a problem. Built to last, premium materials and craftsmanship. It's time to upgrade your denim with Rag & Bone. For a limited time, our listeners get 20% off their entire order with code DUMB, D-U-M-B, at ragandbone.com. That's 20% off at rag-bone.com. With promo code DUMB, D-U-M-B, DUMB. When they ask where you heard about them, please support our show and let them know that we sent you. I'm telling you, Rag & Bone really is the real deal. So give that a go. 20% off that site really goes a long way as well. So DUMB on Rag & Bone. Give that a go. Great shirts, great jeans. They got it all. Good stuff on the buy or sell. Let's head on over to the Ask Bob, fellas.
Joe, you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike, if you're ready.
All right, Bob. By the way, last week, hand up, I worded the question wrong, and Bob was awarded the question rightfully
so. Wow.
Yep, so rightfully so on that. Good catch by whoever caught it. I saw a couple people, and then Tracker confirmed it. Good job,
yes,
Tracker.
Yes, he did.
Bob, this week's question, I would like you to give me the technical title, the scientific title, the actual job title, the real job title of a weatherman. What is a weatherman's correct job title? Their actual scientific job title.
That's a good question.
A weatherman. he didn't freeze because the mic's...
No, he's just...
All right. I think he thinks he's got it.
No, I don't.
I'm sure when you hear it, Bob, you will know.
Yes.
Technical title of a weatherman.
Like their real proper title for a weatherman. Real job title.
Just can't get on the board, bro. I just can't. It's every week the texts I get. Holy shit, you're dumb. like brands like guys you don't want, man. Well, give me just 10 more seconds.
I'm firing a guess here, Bob.
I don't even have an answer, Mike.
All right. We were looking for meteorologists.
Meteorologists. Yeah. See, that sucks.
I thought you had it. I know.
Really, that fucking sucks. I feel like if I took a little bit longer, I could have came to that.
Okay.
That's why I said I think Bob probably, when he hears it, he's going to know immediately.
Now, Bob, if I had asked it the opposite way and I said, what does a meteorologist do? You would have been able to say weatherman, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I could have gotten that answer. That really sucks. It's a good question.
That is a good question.
It is. God damn it.
All right, Bob. This week I'm going to say what I would like you to do is list me two, if you can give me three, even better, but two to three of the wonders of the world. Oh my God. List me two, if you can give me three, that's great, but we would settle for two of the wonders of the world, Bob.
I've got something and I don't have anything else.
Joe, Bob may be one of the wonders of the world, to be honest with you.
Bob, you gotta be. I mean, two, there's like 10 of them, or 8 or 9 of them, or something like that. Man. You got one, Bob?
I can only think of two right off the top of my head.
I know what I have. I'm just trying to see if I gather anything else that could possibly, because what I have could be so wrong.
I'd love to hear it. Oh, this is where it's set up for absolute glory. The wonders of the world. Mikey, you know two of them?
I think off the top of my head, yeah. I believe so. I could be wrong.
Okay, one is a no-brainer. Say that, I'm not right.
Well, no, but one is a no-brainer.
Can I just take you guys through my thought process?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go for it, Bob. We're wondering.
If this is not what I was going to say, now I'm starting to pivot to like the sea or the sky. Like there's a lot of shit in the sea that I think people still wonder about.
Okay. So what do you what's
the sky?
I don't know where you're going with the sky, but
like planets, I would say.
That's not right, Bob. It's
no,
not sky.
No. Come on.
I'm just trying to get you back.
He's trying to take you through the process.
I'm gonna rattle off what my initial thing is, and okay, I know it's wrong. My initial thing was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
No, that would be a band, Bob. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
No, but think about like things that have stood the test of time, like monumental. Humans? No, like things that have been built. Like what
oh,
are like?
Oh, all right, the Egyptian pyramids.
Okay, the Pyramid of Giza is one. That is one. Yes.
There you go.
What else has been like throughout the history of mankind as like something that that's the way you want to think about this.
Okay.
You only need one, by the way. You got the pyramid. You got the Pyramid of Giza.
I was going to say the Empire State Building, but I feel like I just know I'm wrong. I just know everything I'm rattling out is just
okay.
Wrong.
What? Give me another guess, Bob. Come on. We got to get a W here. Pyramids.
I don't. Fossils.
All right, let's.
Yeah, come on, man.
All right, so like, okay, so like,
is Stonehenge one of them? Stonehenge?
No, I think it might be. Yeah, but like the Pyramid of Giza, Great Wall of China, the Christ the Redeemer, the statue Redeemer in Brazil, Petra. You know, in where they have the thing built in the rock, the Colosseum in Italy. That's another one. Not Empire the Empire State Building, unfortunately.
You know, the sky was the best. Bro. The sky.
I'm thinking the sea or the sky.
He said
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Do you remember when it was last September?
I'm on a generationally bad run, man. Generationally.
Earth, Wind, and Fire was not.
I thought that was great. I think Bob it was is, thinking though. Of the elements. He was thinking of the elements.
Yeah.
When you think about the Empire State Building, that is nuts. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
for
but
sure.
Bob, some of these are like hundreds and thousands of years old.
Yeah. I've done a little bit of a deep dive on the pyramids too. I know there's that old thing. It's amazing that people still that we don't know how that took
would
place.
Would you ever go to Egypt just to see them, Bob?
Would I go to Egypt to see them? Joe, I would have no desire.
You know, you got to get like, you have to get like inoculated to go to Egypt. You have to get like shots before you travel to Egypt.
Yeah.
Absolutely no desire.
I would go to see it. I think it would be unbelievable to see.
Yeah, you'd see the D-Man out there in like the big headdress on a camel, like a royal camel, Bob. You know what I mean?
What's a royal camel?
I got my eyes on a royal camel. Yes, a royal camel.
Hawaii's been one, but like a far travel, I would go to Japan.
Oh, Bob, that's arguably the number one food cuisine in the world. I think Italian and Japanese run neck and neck. Well, think about it. Japanese, you got sushi, teppanyaki, you got ramen, you got hibachi. I mean, dude, it's unbelievable, man. Like what you can think of the wagyu that you can have in Japan, man. Oh my
god. The
Hokkaido snow beef.
Haven't heard that in a while. That was good. That was good.
Oh, some of the best you'll ever have, Michael. It's incredible.
All right. Okay, let's head on over to Mikey's camp has breakfast in 15. They got roll call in 15. Yeah, roll call in
5, Bob. Got to head over to the mess hall, Bob. Yeah. He's got his token for breakfast.
Yes, I have my ticket.
All right. Let's head on over to our top five. This week's top five is going to be top five NFL fan bases. I knew Petey would have a question about it in the morning. And Petey, what was your question? Which I don't think was crazy. I just knew there would be a question. I thought it was a pretty good top five.
He said, is it diehard fans or passionate fans?
Well, because like I don't know if I said, when you say fan bases, do you mean loyal or diehard or like some fan bases thing. Can be terrible fan bases, but they're diehard. So they would care.
Correct. Like you can't factor in, like if they're bad, that doesn't mean anything in my eyes.
Like if they're pieces of shit, it's still, they could be loyal and they could be on the list. There's one fan base that I have in mind. It's actually not yours, Michael.
Oh, good.
It's those Philadelphia Eagles.
The Eagles clips of like fans, like if you wear an opposing jersey and like the Eagles, where they like throw shit at you, they're pretty ruthless.
I saw a video.
Everyone was busting my balls about not wearing Bears stuff when I went to the Bears game.
Don't blame me on Friday.
I was like, bro, are you out of your mind? I got to deal with that, and then I look like the asshole if I say anything back to anybody.
No. Plus, dude, Mikey, you would be a sitting duck.
Like, I know,
guys. Yeah. It would be,
and you'd have guys challenging you to a fight and stuff. But there's a video, Bob. I see. There's two. It's from like way back. There's a Niners Eagles game and there was a snow game and there's two fans sitting in the front and they are pelting these people with snowballs and they're sitting there doing just minding their business.
I saw that
to the point where the security guard has to get them up and get them out of the seats. And it's like these people are just probably paid a lot because they're good seats and just sitting there cheering their team on and they're getting pelted in the back of the head with snowballs. It's
funny, but I saw that. Yeah, I saw that recently. I couldn't believe that. It's just crazy.
It's absurd, man. It's absurd.
Wild.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills, and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
D-Man, you took first last week. So D-Man's going to have his selection of where he wants to go. Mikey, you're after that. Last was the blunt rotation, which PD took for the MLB. I think we kind of saw that coming. So Pete, where would you like to start?
I'm going to go third on this one because I don't know if there's a guaranteed number one. I think there's a few that are really good, so I'd rather give myself a chance to get a couple of those early on.
Yeah.
So I'll go third.
Yeah, I'll go first.
I'm glad you did, because I don't know. I don't know what the overall first is. So take it away, Mikey.
Yeah, I think this fan base is, I would say it's a very annoying fan base. Again, like we're talking about like the biggest fan bases. Are we talking the best fan bases, or what was the phrasing?
Most loyal.
Joe's question is valid. Like loyal and diehard fan bases.
I think that this fan base, to me, like the way they travel alone sets the tone. I think they travel better than anybody. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers fans travel like you always see in opposing team stadiums. And that's a statement for me, is how well they travel. Steelers fans travel like nobody I see. So I'm going to
go. They're one of the better ones. First. Yeah.
The only one that I,
I thought you were going to say Cowboys.
I think there are, like, there's some of them that I think that some of them are called front runners, some Cowboy fans that became fans in the 90s just because they were winning the Super Bowls and maybe they're a little.
But they're just weather. Everywhere. It seems like Cowboys fans are everywhere.
They are.
I mean, stink.
I'm gonna go Cowboys. Yeah, give me Cowboys.
That's a good one.
I don't know what you can make a case for.
You know what? You know. To me, a sign of a good fan base is when your team has not been good for a long time and they're still everywhere. And a testament to Cowboys fans, whether you like the Cowboys or you don't, they are loyal, man, and they travel and they are diehard. All right, I am gonna go with the Buffalo Bills. Bills Mafia, I think. Yeah. By the way, I think Bills fans are tremendous. I think they're a lot of fun. And another team that has never won a Super Bowl. And then I'll come back with the Packers on the next one. I'll go Bills and then Packers.
Robert?
Packers fan. Packers and Steelers fans, Mike, I think might be the oldest, like loyal or biggest fan base anyways.
Okay, give me the... I'm going to go – give me the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles, too. That's a good
one, D-man.
Yeah, I'll take the Bears. I'll take the Bears. Another team move. Fans have been through misery, and they still just hang around. This is going to surprise some people, but this team, for the passion that they have, because there's really not much else out there, Browns fans continue to, to really, really, they're remarkable. Browns fans are remarkable people. So I'll take the Browns. It's with my wraparound.
Yeah. As much as I'm not a Boston guy, I think Boston fan base is like Celtics fans.
Yeah. Red Sox
fans are really good fans. Say it. Yeah. And then Patriots fans too. Patriots fans are really, really good. So yeah, give me the Patriots.
I'm going to go with one where you want to talk about a team that's been bad for a long time, but it's became a culture piece to cheer for this team throughout the 90s. And I think their fans are freaking crazy. Give me the Raiders. I think the Raiders fans are, I mean, to really not having any level of success.
Dude, we went when we went to the Raiders game and, for the Bob to Sports episode, it's so funny. Like you go to interview the guys and they just look at you and they just go, Raiders. Like that's all they say. Like the nutty fan base.
But there's a huge amount of Raiders fans. I think it's a massive, it's almost become like a lifestyle to be a Raiders fan. And then I'll go with another one, team that I've hated for years. It caused me misery, but the San Francisco 49ers fans I think are very, very diehard.
Okay, give me, I am going with the Seattle Seahawks fans.
That's a good
That's
one.
Steve. You know, it's a big Seahawks fan is Steve, D-man.
Oh, boy.
He loves the Seahawks. The
Seattle Seahawks.
He's I'll take the Giants, and I'll take on the wraparound the Miami Dolphins. There's a lot of old school Dolphins fans out there, bro. A lot. And they don't win. They don't win a lot.
I didn't see that one coming, Mikey.
Dolphins,
Okay, give me a team that I used to be the biggest fan of. Give me the Saints. Give me New Orleans Saints.
I'm going to give one, and I think part of the reason their fan base has exploded is because they've been so good over the last several years. But we went to the stadium. The Chiefs fans at Arrowhead, man, I think – they love their Chiefs. And you got to remember, they went through a big period where the Chiefs didn't do anything. So now that they've won, I think it's just expanded that fan base to the next level as well.
All right.
That's it. Yeah, I can't believe the Lions didn't get selected is wild.
Yeah. All right. So I went first Steelers, Bears, Browns, Giants, Dolphins. Bob went second. He's got Cowboys, Eagles, Patriots, Seahawks, Saints, right, Bob? I didn't miss anything because I couldn't write it down this week. Joe went third. He's got Bills, Packers, he's got Raiders, 49ers,
and Chiefs.
Yep, that's it.
Should be interesting, fellas. Should be very interesting. The Dolphins play surprised me, Mikey.
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, by me and by New York, there's a ton of Dolphins fans. Like, there's so
that
many
is
Dolphins
true.
Fans. There's so many
a lot Northeast, fans. Northeast yeah, Dolphins.
I thought like Vikings would have been selected too. Vikings fans are pretty.
You know what bothers me big time? Like, it's the classic, like, Matt Flynn thing. Like, don't get me wrong, the Malik Willis showing was really, really something. Like, I'm in a Jets chat with my friends from high school. They're like, we got to get Malik Willis. I'm like, don't get me wrong. He looked great those two games, but like there's not a doubt in my mind that if he went to the Jets, the second he gets there, you're going to find out that there was a reason he was number two. It's such a crazy, unless you want to, which I want them to do now that Dante Moore is not coming, which makes all the sense in the world. Get rid of the pick, whatever. Tank one more year and then load up on 2027. If you want to just get Malik Willis so maybe you have a chance, then yeah.
Hey, Bob, you know what? Your Miami Canes for a while did not look very good. Now they're in the national championship. So maybe the Jets just need a couple more bad years before
a
resurgence.
They can really be. I mean, if they just – easier said than done, but if they draft right, they have all the picks you could possibly imagine. Their O-line's actually pretty good, which hasn't been for a decade. So, you know, yeah, maybe they got a shot.
Arrow's pointing up.
Yeah, arrow's pointing up.
Good luck tonight, Mikey.
Thank you. Good luck, thank Michael. You. Bob, good luck tomorrow, Bob.
Thank you very
much. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun
big
day.
Big one for the D-man.
Nothing to lose, man. Just leave it all out there. Ladies and gentlemen, that does it for yet another edition of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. As always, we will see you next time.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.